Welcome to Perspectives, brought to you by Physicians Practice. I'm Drew Boxler, editor of Physicians Practice. Every 2 weeks, we explore key areas of a successful, thriving, independent practice. We'll hear from experts in the industry regarding best practices for billing and collections, answer your top coding questions, analyze current legal trends, malpractice landmines to avoid, and look at the hottest tech innovations to increase productivity and enhance the patient experience. Let's get started. Rates of reported burnout among practicing physicians was already rising before the pandemic, but increased to new heights as the pandemic progressed and continues today. Physicians Practice has featured writers offering various angles to curb the onset of burnout and tackle growing cases that might be present in your organization. Today, you'll hear from Dr. Fernando Mendoza, the founder and CEO of Scrivus LLC, about another intervention that your practice might consider to reduce the likelihood of the onset of burnout, medical scribes. It begins with a discussion of burnout throughout the pandemic.
So according to a recent study by Medscape, you know, critical care physicians are the highest rate of burnout, by 51% of them citing there's just too many bureaucratic tasks and too many hours at work. And that's really endemic with what's happening across the country with physicians. Before the pandemic, we knew for at least a couple of decades that burnout or kind of moral injury to what physicians are going through in terms of workload, bureaucratic tasks, administrative tasks have really been weighing down on how physicians can deliver care. And during the pandemic, that was only exacerbated. A recent survey by MD Linx found that about half of respondent physicians reported that the COVID-19 crisis had really caused them to seriously rethink their career or their practice. And that's pretty significant. These numbers are quite high also, even a little bit higher in primary care physicians. When you talk about internal medicine and family medicine physicians, about half of them also are rethinking their careers or the career choice in their practice. About a third of them already said they plan to change what their practice setting is like, some of them moving into telemedicine or even changing how they practice medicine, or that they've already done so. So a third of these primary care physicians, which is really the bulk of who takes care of us as a patient in our population, which are internal medicine and family practice physicians, are rethinking how they're practicing medicine. For many, this has meant switching to telehealth visits, like I mentioned, either part-time or full-time. Others have been cutting back hours, which of course means reducing access to the patients in terms of getting to the appointments for the physicians. And really about 6% said they plan to quit medicine or change an entire career altogether. And that's pretty significant. When you invest so much time and energy as a professional into becoming a physician, to take the time and say, I'm gonna stop what I'm doing, my passion, my dedication to my patient, and say, I'm gonna switch to gears to something completely different, that's pretty significant. So Becker's Hospital Review is a very prominent and very well-respected publication in the medical community. In March of 2021, they had a study that went out and concluded that provider burnout and disengagement resulting in these shortages could be the most disruptive issue facing healthcare organizations in the next 3 years. So what they're saying as recently as a couple of months ago is that, you know, the burnout and disengagement is really going to be have downstream effects, not just, you know, in the next few months, for the next few years. We're also seeing an aging boomer population, right? So as healthcare needs increase across our country, we're seeing a reduction in engagement from physicians. That's quite concerning. Really, COVID-19 pandemic really only exacerbated and brought this to the forefront. So now, you know, physicians have to make up, you know, for lost business, you know, entire healthcare practices, organizations either slowed down or shut down for a good period of time during the COVID-19 pandemic due to concerns of obviously of infection and transmission. And now as they ramp back up, they have a huge backlog of patients they need to catch up on, and it only exacerbates the issues that were affecting them before that. So, you know, we kind of recapped a little bit, but, you know, really physician burnout has been recognized for over 2 decades, and it continues to worsen for a multitude of reasons. Including the global COVID pandemic. As my professional life as a pediatric emergency physician and the owner of Scrivus, a medical scribe company, our focus has been to reduce physician fatigue and burnout. When I started Scrivus, I really was addressing the needs of my personal practice and my colleagues around me, is that we were staying late after hours, completing charts, we weren't getting to patients on time, there were long wait times in the emergency room. All this really compounded the effects of, you know, do I really want to come to work today? I love my job, but I hate the stuff I have to do after my shift is over. And that's really the origination and the impetus for me starting this the medical scribe company. And even now, as a global pandemic is kind of waning and becoming a little bit more under control, and healthcare gets back to the business of healthcare, we're really seeing an uptick in medical scribe requests from offices and hospitals as that they're catching up on that volume and taking the opportunity, taking a pause and say, what can we do differently now that we've addressed, you know, now we can have a chance to restart, and can we really address the issues that are affecting our physicians with burnout and with disengagement and really the burden of administrative tasks? We know that burnout has negative effects and can compromise healthcare. I mean, clinical performance and patient satisfaction suffer. When doctors are worried about writing stuff down or documentation, they're not really spending the time face to face with the physician, with the patient, and that affects clinical care. I mean, that eye contact, that really sitting down and listening to the patient is what the heart of what physicians do. I mean, healthcare is human care, and you know, before the pandemic, it was there. It's only exacerbated during and after the pandemic. But it's really not limited just to physicians. I want to point that out too. I mean, nursing shortages are really a crisis right now in 2021 across the country. Anybody who works in a healthcare organization, whether it's a hospital or a large medical specialty practice, is having trouble finding great nurses and nurses who aren't burnt out. You know, 1/3 of nurses that leave their job are citing burnout as a reason. Just can't, you know, it's just too much and too many administrative tasks and you know, kind of the weight of the job has gotten to them. Even healthcare executives, when you actually query healthcare executives, about 80% of them say that fulfilling healthcare executive positions to really kind of backfill those openings is very, very challenging. Over 2/3 or about 2/3 of physician, non-physician clinicians. So these include the extenders, physician extenders, the allied health professionals, such as nurse practitioners, PAs, social workers, chaplains, have at least, you know, experienced at least one symptom of burnout. That's either disengagement, depersonalization, not connecting, other physical manifestations of burnout, you know, lack of sleep, and lack of really satisfaction in their work. And really emergency, just along those lines, emergency physician PAs, physician assistants have the highest percentage of burnout compared to other specialty physician assistants. So that constant churning of patients in the emergency room really affects those PAs more frequently in terms of burnout than other PAs in other specialties. So it's not just a physician problem, it is a healthcare problem. And you know, seeing that healthcare is such a large part of our GDP, it's such a large part of what we rely on this country to keep the economy going. And not just that, we see, like I mentioned earlier, the aging boomer population, thousands upon thousands daily aging in, and we're getting an older population in our country. We could really be seeing some significant effects of this over the next, you know, 3 to 5 years.
Another aspect affecting the onset of burnout in physicians is depersonalization. Up next, Dr. Mendoza discusses how depersonalization and emotions play a role in healthcare safety.
Depersonalization, by definition, is the action of divesting someone or something of human characteristics or individuality. What that means is that, in practical terms, is that physicians and nurses and healthcare givers really disengage and, you know, kind of unconnect from that, you know, physician to patient relationship. And that can be really dangerous and really concerning in healthcare. We see, you know, a constant need for computerized technology, for administrative tasks, and that kind of overshadows the physician's or nurse's clinical day. We touched on a little bit earlier, but really, you know, that what distracts them from that provider, you know, patient interaction, whether you're a nurse or a physician, from that engagement with the patient. And that's really vital to giving the best care possible. So when you don't connect with your patient and you know, kind of depersonalize that experience and you don't empathize and sit there and listen and kind of really engage with that patient, that really kind of degrades that interaction and what makes us physicians and caregivers. It's really, you know, the personalization is what drives most people to get into healthcare in the first place. So, you know, we talk about depersonalization and suffering. Suffering is something we talk about in the burnout world, also as moral injury, where the distraction of a provider's burdens really begins to overpower their thoughts and emotions. In other words, oh my God, I have to see another patient and there's 10 more waiting and I have to input all this information and I haven't gone back to my computer and I'm gonna have to stay late because I won't get home for dinner in time, or I have so much work to do. I'm gonna have to have, you know, work from home, and all this is piling up during the day. And that's really distracting from what's essential for that healthcare giver, that physician, that nurse, that allied health professional, for that, you know, to think about how they're going to deliver care on that patient, what the medical issues are with that patient. It really does go beyond providers as well. I mean, directors, C-suite, COOs, CEOs, presidents of hospital systems, and large, you know, people who lead large medical practices, when they only see resources to prevent burnout as a luxury instead of a necessity, you know, that ends up being kind of adding to the problem. And we want to really, you know, kind of remove the, you know, kind of the forward or that upfront expense as, oh, we can't afford that. So we can't afford not to invest in our providers. Change that mindset. We need to invest into our providers, into our physicians, our nurses, our other health professionals. And it is going to be sometimes an upfront cost, but the dividends paid on that to reduce the burden and to help increase that re-engagement with the patient is going to be crucial to continuing to provide that excellent healthcare for that healthcare organization. In an effort to humanize patients in our healthcare, we really got to respect that every person is unique, right? And they all respond differently to life crises. So this respect goes beyond just the patients and includes always being empathetic to providers and nurses who serve the patients. So the crisis we experienced with COVID pandemic, yes, it exacerbated burnout, exacerbated that load. And you know, we're running on that adrenaline for, especially in people who run to the fire per se, that expression of like, they want to help and help and help. But we have to address the underlying causes that were causing this burnout, you know, for years or decades beforehand, and really going to come, we're coming to a culmination. And now we're kind of seeing an opportunity to kind of reset and address these issues. One of the things that providers always complain about when they're kind of have this top-down management is insisting that doctors see a certain amount of patients per day, or that nurses work overtime or do stretch assignments and are already stressful working assignments, whether intensive care or ER. And stretch assignments means, you know, taking more patients than you typically do, or working more hours, or extending your shifts. And this is the kind of thing that really can push these healthcare professionals to burnout. We talk about providing patient-centered care, and healthcare leaders really need to really put their kind of their money where their mouth is, and really focus on what that means, patient-centered care, giving more tailored care to their patients, maybe more respectful understanding to each patient's needs and what their values are, and each provider's needs and what their values are. It's going to be critical for the health of the healthcare organization, so that there's longevity there and that the leadership is well respected by the providers. You know, moving beyond that, healthcare, humanization in healthcare rather, embraces the principles and considers other stakeholders involved in a process of care. Patients, caregivers, healthcare providers, policymakers, all their interactions. In order to humanize the overall healthcare system, really to focus on relational, organizational, and structural aspects of healthcare involving all the medical tasks and procedures. So, you know, kind of taking that holistic approach of how do we get that patient-centered care, not just on the patient, but on the people who are providing that patient-centered care. I'd like to also talk about the emotional errors. I mean, emotional errors are the ones where you have to incorporate an educational awareness, an awareness level from the providers that emotions do affect how we provide healthcare, how we provide the care to our patients. And that's important. So we have to have, there's be a self-realization that, you know, we can, you know, that depersonalization can take place. And this is something that organizations can help sponsor, you know, either through educational activities or leadership roles that can help identify that depersonalization can occur and when it is occurring, and kind of take a step back and help mitigate that. Really, at the end of the day, the healthcare leadership needs to focus on strategies and formulate strategies to help healthcare professionals at all levels, to identify and remove themselves from emotional influences that can impact patient care. When am I getting into trouble? When am I pushing up against that edge? where I am no longer functioning as a physician or a nurse or, you know, another allied health professional in my best capacity? And what are those barriers to that? And what am I encountering every on a day-to-day, my day-to-day job that's affecting me or preventing me from providing that kind of humanized care? So humanization in healthcare is truly a necessity for all healthcare providers. Bottom line, healthcare leaders need to consider valuable resources. I mean, you know, the resources that you put in on the front end will help pay, you know, great dividends on the back end. You know, some of the solutions, some of the things we see is we really design processes, and we have technology, right? Processes and leverage the technologies so really hardwire the humanity back to every step of the healthcare experience, of the patient care experience. Okay. Healthcare systems need to actively engage patients and families in the overall patient care experience and help in process improvement efforts. And, you know, it's many times said, what really needs to be done is we need to work as a team to improve the best patient care experience, to provide the best patient care experience and work-life balance of everyone involved. So, you know, it's quite a big task. It's not going to be easy, but there's certainly, it's super important at this stage in the game in healthcare. Where we're seeing, you know, 2021 and beyond, as we're emerging from this pandemic, that we have an opportunity to really reset and look at where we can really get the human care back into healthcare.
Up next, Dr. Mendoza offers solutions for reducing the onset of burnout in your practice, including the option of bringing on medical scribes.
So we spoke a little while ago, or a few minutes ago, about what are the most disruptive forces really facing healthcare organizations and hospitals over the next few years. And just to reiterate, I mean, provider burnout being one of the most critical ones, disengagement or depersonalization. And we've talked about the potential and ensuing shortages because of physicians leaving practices or changing their practice style or accessibility to their patients. That's one of the reasons why I helped found and continue to run a medical scribe service. And, you know, this is some medical scribes can help support and, you know, get you through some of these challenges. We know that medical scribes consistently and study after study, whether in academic or non-academic organizations or scenarios, can free up the physician time, really in their clinical day, just to get through their work day, to be able to get them back to the patient, in front of the patient, sitting down, talking with the patient, and really improve their work-life balance. And the largest request we get for medical scribes, the reason is I want to be able to leave my office or leave my practice, leave my shift, and not have to work from home. And, you know, that's a huge improvement in quality of life, which we know, if, you know, if you're looking forward to spending time at home or some, you know, kind of enjoyable activity after work, you know, that certainly gets you through the day a little bit easier. But really the most important thing that we see, the most important result is I get to sit down and talk to my patients. I can spend time with my patients. The 5, 7, 10 minutes I get with my patient, whether or 20 minutes, however long you have scheduled with your patients, is really spent with the patient, no longer turning to the side or turning your back on a computer or having to step outside the office and document for another 5, 10, 15 minutes, or even speak into, you know, dictate into a dictaphone over 5, 10, 15 minutes. And I don't feel rushed. I can get with my patient and really understand where they're coming from, what their problems are. So kind of segueing in, I mean, really there's several areas that medical scribes can really help reduce physician burnout. Number one, quality patient care time. So you're spending time with the patient. We just mentioned that you're talking to the patient, you're really engaging with the patient. You're doing what physicians and nurses and allied health professionals are trained to do and why they went into medicine. They get to think, you know, we love to think about patients. We love to think about the patient problems. We love to come up with a solution. If you're not thinking about clicking boxes or figuring out, you know, did I miss this or miss that? And you just kind of free flow and get into the point where you're just really thinking about what the patient's problems are and helping solve them, that really provides a lot of physician, you know, job satisfaction. And that really, you know, you really enjoy your time with the patient. A scribe can pre-chart, document the doctor and patient encounters that's happening, retrieve diagnostic results, navigate through the electronic health record or EHR during the entire clinical shift, whether it's through the entire office visit day or through the ER shift or ICU shift or hospitalist rotate, you know, rounding. We're really, and that's, when you talk to physicians, 80, 90% of their day is spent in front of a computer. I mean, so you don't want to do that. You want to see patients. Scribe can alleviate that. So that time that you remove from being in front of the computer is spent with your patients. Number two, improves clinical engagement. Once you remove the administrative and electronic health record burden, using it, that re-engagement, re-personalized healthcare allowing medical scribes to take over the administrative burden of data entry or dictation really helps to put, the physician focus on providing the highest quality positive experience for the patients. And that's what you want. You want the patient to leave either your office or you come away from that visit in ER or when you're sitting in the room and they're admitted saying, I really felt that the doctor understood what I was going through, what my issues are. And I really felt that they're dedicated to my plan of care. And that's important. And that patient engagement is really important especially for executives in healthcare organizations to understand what's going to drive up patient satisfaction and re-engagement and really, seeing them as a customer, coming back to that organization as a customer and a patient. So we always talk about money, is it going to be worth it, right? I mean, this is, part of the forum here, and we're addressing some healthcare executive. You increase productivity. For sure, productivity is increased. Either whether you want to or not, you're going to have better documentation in the record. You're going to want that, of course. Compliance is going to be increased. You're not missing, certain areas you need to really address, whether they're mandated or not mandated. You're also going to be, seeing more accurate documentation. When it's timely and happening 100% of the time on the spot, you're going to capture more of what's happening between the patient and the physician, and that's going to result in better documentation and a more appropriate encounter that's, for billing and for coding purposes really reflects what actually happened. Downcoded charts, go down. We see that in time and time again, whether it's in our practice in Scrivas, we have clients who will have very, very minimal downcoded charts as to before they start the service. And we'll see upticks in appropriate billable charges, which obviously helps the bottom line of the practice. Obviously, physicians want to spend more time on the patients. When you're not spending time documenting or on electronic healthcare record, guess what? Now your appointments, instead of being 20 or 22 a day, usually a couple more patients a day, whether it's sick visits or planned visits. When you increase that capacity, you're really decreasing wait times for the patients getting appointments in an office setting, for example. Instead of being 3 weeks or 4 weeks, it can be a week or 7 days or 6 days. So that you're really getting that lead time is really cut back because you're seeing a couple more patients a day without feeling the effects. Doctors go home, they feel refreshed, they're not burdened by each having to work at home or after hours working on charts, and they can see a couple more patients a day typically. We've seen anywhere between 2 to 5 patients more per day that can be scheduled without really adding to the burden to the other physician. And that that's all supported or done by the real-time charting. When you're charting in real time, you're capturing more of the of what's represented in the visit. That results in the appropriate documentation and going forward for the next visit, so you know exactly what happened. If you're handing off to a consultant or a consultant reading that chart, you know exactly what happened. It happened in real time. You're not waiting 3 days for that chart to be completed. If you're in a hospital setting, for example, that chart's ready to go. The consultant can see it a few hours later. Typically, if happening in real time, they can make decisions on that patient. That real-time charting also allows you to capture the entire visit without missing things and going back 3 weeks later saying, well, this patient came a few weeks ago and I can't really remember exactly. I knew I talked about something, but I didn't put it in my chart because I forgot it. So, those are the areas where medical scribes can really help get that physician past that burnout, get them enjoying the work-life balance, get them enjoying seeing the patients again, and really really helping the bottom line for the organization, whether it's an individual practice, a large medical specialty practice, or a hospital system. So how do we get there? Hospitals, organizations, healthcare leaders, they should be the ones taking the lead and implementing the solutions. Individual physicians are going to be asking for help. And if they're not asking for help, they're not telling you. So you need to ask them because we're seeing it. We're seeing doctors who are hurting. We are seeing doctors who are cutting back on shifts. So healthcare leaders really need to spend the time, whether either through chief wellness officers, creating a culture of openness when it comes to physician burnout asking the frontline staff, nurses, allied health professionals, how can we help? What do you need us to help you with to help you get you through this this crisis? They really, physicians look for control over their lives, whether they're social connectedness and or you know, their lives are really, they want to control their work-life balance. So, and they also want to have the opportunity to provide excellent care, being part of something meaningful. And when a healthcare organization, we talk about large organizations, even small practices, even of just a few physicians, when you give physicians control of their day, they feel that they can really, really excel what they want to do, which is be a doctor. So providing that constructive, you know, organization, physician relationship, developing physician leaders within this realm, whether it's chief wellness officers or leads or liaison to help connect the physicians to the organization so you can see what the issues are, that's going to be really important. And that's one of the first steps in establishing really an improvement, kind of a process improvement for physician and provider burnout. I talked a little bit about wellness programs. What are those? A wellness program for physicians, you know, many organizations in this country, healthcare organizations, have led the way in this for the past several years, and it's going to be something that's really standard soon. But you really have to improving the current wellness program focused on each healthcare professional job. Okay, how do you improve the job satisfaction? How do you improve the work environment? You know, whether it's establishing crisis hotlines, providing support to physicians, a peer-to-peer physician group that's an open forum, liaisons throughout different specialties, all that can really help foster an environment of rehumanization, repersonalization, and seeing that there are solutions being, you know, that the healthcare organization is a solution-driven organization that really listens to the physicians. So those are, you know, encouraging physicians to speak out is hardly, most organizations have physicians who speak out, who talk about the stressors. It's really having the audience and providing a platform at the organizational level, whether it's a C-suite or director level, administrative level, say, listen, we're listening to you. We're going to work with you and partner on these solutions to really improve the work-life balance, improve the patient care experience, improve the patient-centered care model that we really want to promote within our organization.
Thanks again for taking the time to speak with us, Dr. Mendoza. And thank you all for listening to Perspectives, brought to you by Physicians Practice. We hope you subscribe or listen to podcasts, rate us, and let us know what topics you would like to hear more about. For more practice management insights from the top experts in the field, be sure to visit us at physicianspractice.com and sign up for our newsletter.